everybody, and welcome into episode number 389 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
Great. Well, we have a great show today because we are going to talk interesting facts. They are in fact facts, and they are in fact interesting. How many times can I say in fact in the opening of this podcast? We don't know.
You're up to seven.
Yes, right. This isn't the drunk cast. You're not drinking every time I say in fact, but we are going to write that idea down and it will come back later.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, Michael, why don't you kick us off and challenge us today with your fact?
I will. I am also a little curious. Am I going first because I am that terrible at segues?
Yes.
Wonderful. Just checking.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Okay. Mine's a pretty straight down the middle fact. What was the first Academy Award nominated song to contain profanity in the lyrics?
Ooh. Nick, is this one of those trivia questions that you just know? Because you gave
the smile on Nick's face.
Yeah, I got to work on my poker face a little bit, but I don't just know it. I just have one of those things in that, like, that's the kind of thing that sticks in my head. I have a really good idea.
Okay, so Michael, this is a specific song, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you're saying nomination, so that to me says it's not a winner.
That is correct. I will double check that, but I believe it did not win.
Every piece of information is making me feel stronger about my guess.
Okay. I feel like I should be more aware of Academy Awards in general from, you know, working in trivia for 6 or 7 years. That should be something that's pretty obvious. But as much as I love profanity and swearing, this one doesn't come immediately to mind.
Yeah, Academy Awards, I think, is one of those trivia staples. It's just, it's a solid, accurate, provable, undeniable list. So it's easy to source.
They're one source of truth, just
right.
Here it is.
Yeah, that's one of the, every trivia question we're writing has three sources behind it. Like, we require every trivia question to have three sources behind it. But some of them don't need three sources. Like we have the Academy of Motion Picture. These are the nominees. These are the winners. Like that's it. It's one source. You don't need any more sources.
Just take it from the source and then you're all set. Whew. Okay. So I'm delaying because Nick already knows. So Michael,
I don't know. I just have a guess.
I also have another follow-up hint/ interesting piece of it, if you like.
Can I blindly throw my guess out first?
Yes, you can.
Because I don't know if your fact would help me narrow it down at all. But the thing that immediately comes to mind is Lose Yourself. And I feel like that's early 2000s and involves some profanity. If I'm remembering the lyrics correctly, I don't want to go through them all in my head, but I'm sure that there was. However, to me saying early 2000s, that seems pretty late. I feel like it was earlier, but that's my best guess at this moment would be Lose Yourself from the 8 Mile soundtrack.
Okay, that is incorrect.
Dang it.
Very good guess.
Give me your hint.
Solid guess. It is one of two songs in history that were nominated, that were sung by the villain of the movie.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
No, I got it. No. It still fits with my guess. That's not how I would phrase it, but it still fits with my guess.
Right. This is coming from,
a film from the villain of the.
It is the first of only two songs sung by a villain to be nominated.
It's interesting to me that you're using the term villain instead of antagonist. Is there a particular, is that part of your plan?
It is not. I am just reading.
Okay, so you're taking the exact wording from your source. Okay, that's very, very, very fair. But still, that does not help me even remotely. I can tell you that I really enjoyed Taylor Swift's new album, Folklore. After the first song and she said shit in it, I was like, oh, I'm in on this. So again, unrelated, just procrastinating to not give an answer, but I don't know. I don't have no other guesses. So Nick, help me out here.
Okay. So it's whenever you all play me up as having the right answer, like, oh, Nick knows it. Oh, it's definitely there. It's going to make me look bad when I'm wrong. When you say the villain, if by my recollection, if my guess is correct, this movie had multiple villains, depending upon how you want to look at it. There was the devil. There was Saddam Hussein. There was the person who sang the song I'm thinking of, whose name was Sheila Broflovsky. I believe the correct answer is Blame Canada from South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut.
So in this case, Blame Canada was the second of the two songs. that is indeed the second song that was sung by the villain to be nominated.
Okay.
But you are also correct. It did contain profanity as well.
Okay, so that's not right, though, because it finished second.
That is also not correct. That is it's the second one that happened.
When did that film come out? So when did South Park, what was that, late 90s?
It was late 90s. Right, I think the movie was 2004. Was the movie 99?
June 99.
Wow.
Okay, so that gives us a timeline, Nick, that we know that it was prior to 1999. So what movies with songs came out before 99?
I can give you the year of the movie if you like as well.
Sure.
1986.
Well, 1986. What a time. What a time to exist and have a song that swore. I have no guesses, Michael.
Lindsay, what is your most commonly associated memory with 1986?
Well, I was not born yet, so unfortunately can't go there. I do know that the movie that I have never seen but I hate, Top Gun, was released in 1986. You guys know that I have a hatred for that movie, right?
Sure.
So, we do. And I will tell you, by the way, that this song lost to Take My Breath Away from Top Gun.
Ah!
So Top Gun strikes again.
Dang it. Okay, I have no idea.
All right, so 1986, was that You're the Best Around from The Karate Kid? Was Karate Kid that year?
I don't believe so. Okay. That's not the correct answer. I don't know if Karate Kid was 86 or not, was the part I'm unsure about.
Okay.
I got nothing, Michael. You might have stumped us. And what I mean by might have, you definitely stumped us.
100%.
All right. So the answer?
Yeah.
The answer is the song was Mean Green Mother from Outer Space.
Little Shop of Horrors.
Little Shop of Horrors.
Sung by Audrey II, the villain of the show.
That is correct.
That makes a ton of sense because she was in fact the villain.
That's interesting. Do you look at the plant as being female?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's a mean green mother from outer space. I feel like mother tends to be.
It's I'm a mean green mother. Well,
yeah, I mean, she's pretty obvious about that.
Okay.
Also, I don't know.
Every time I've seen the show, the character's been voiced by a man. And it was in the movie as well.
I don't know. I also feel like Audrey 2 has, you know, like big red lips. And I don't know. I just, in my head, it's been years and years and years since I've seen Little Shop of Horrors. I love that movie. Excellent. I haven't seen the show live, but I don't know. I just remember her being female.
Okay.
Who knows?
It's just, you know, interesting how perceptions differ.
Yeah. Well, we've been doing, which by the way, this is a great plug for the Botanic Garden event that we host every few weeks on Thursdays. So I've been doing a lot of Little Shop of Horror trivia questions because when you're talking about movies with plants in them, that's kind of one of the meccas. So U.S. Botanic Garden, they're totally free to play. Test yourself on plant science and pop culture. Shameless plug dropped in the middle of the podcast. Actually related to an interesting fact. So boom, cool. We'll put it in the link down.
See, and Michael,
plant, which was nice.
Yeah, see, Michael, that's how you do a segue.
Okay. I'm taking notes over here.
Yeah, well, Nick, I do have a segue from Michael's directly into my fact. Unless you have one that's really good.
I have a really good one.
Fine.
But I mean, you can go ahead. I don't want to step on any toes here.
Nope. You go ahead.
Okay. So speaking of aliens from space.
All right.
In November of 2019, NASA's New Horizons space probe visited the furthest objects humans have ever explored with a spacecraft. It's a minor planet that was recently named Arrokoth. And it's two, I don't know, it's a bunch of rocks that were in one ball and a bunch of rocks that were in another ball, and it got smashed together and it looks like a snowman. So that's very relevant to the question I'm going to ask. How far away is it, or was it at the time? I will accept your answer in inches or miles.
Okay.
Michael's currently doing the conversion to millimeters.
I am. I was going to go centimeters, but yeah, millimeters works too.
Right. So yeah, this is the furthest thing we have ever sent something to.
Is it located right where next to my like daily motivation is?
Yes. Yeah. It's okay. Just behind that. Yeah.
Just behind that. Okay. Yep. Cool. Just checking.
Okay. Well, I don't know a lot about Pluto. You know, it was a planet when I was a kid. Now it's not. And I know that we've gone way past Pluto. So I'm just trying to even guess how many trillions or billions of miles away Pluto is, and use that as a starting point, because I have absolutely no clue. None whatsoever.
So okay. I mean, true.
Where do I go from that? Like, you're not even giving us a range, like within trillions of miles.
I'll give you give or take a billion miles.
Give or take a billion miles. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well,
what kind of units will you accept?
I think miles is a good way to go. I have it in kilometers, but neither of you are from the EU.
Correct. Or the rest of the world. Right.
Or yeah, for the rest of the world. You're from here.
Okay. I just cheated and I Googled. So Pluto is 3 billion miles away from Earth. So
how far?
Oh, sorry. Pluto lies 4.67 billion miles from Earth. So 4.67 billion miles. Yeah. From Earth.
I can give you this as a hint. The measurement that I have is from the sun, because that would be the middle. Earth could be on either side of the sun or further or closer to the object, depending upon where everything is in its rotation around the sun. So my measurements are from the sun.
Yeah, well, I guess according to space.com, currently Pluto is 3 billion miles away from Earth, but sometimes it's 4.67 billion. So you get a little range of a billion.
Yeah, so if Earth is on this side of the sun and the sun is here and Pluto's over here, it's further away. But when Earth is over here on this side of the sun, then it's closer.
Yeah. And I know the visual aids are very helpful to our listeners.
Yeah, no, that's just, I'm just pointing at random spots on my camera in order to draw distinctions.
I did a third grade paper mache Earth project, okay? which honestly, if you're doing paper mache planets, Earth is definitely the hardest. And I kind of got the short end of the stick there, I feel like, in terms of planet. But
you get Mars and you just crumple up a piece of red construction paper and call it good.
Yeah. Yeah. Earth was a little bit challenging. Okay. So I'm again procrastinating because I have no real guesses. I'm assuming that it's way more than 5 billion. So I'm just going to say 80 billion miles. I'm going to go really, really far. I feel like this thing was way, way, way out there. No reason for my guess besides saying 80 just feels like the right number.
Okay, 80 billion for Lindsay. Michael?
Yeah, you would think I would have spent all that time trying to formulate a guess.
I think you had the cats playing cymbals in your head?
Yeah, exactly.
Meow, 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 meow.
It's the Cars for Kids, actually.
1-877 Cars for Kids. And you're all welcome for that, and I think that should be our secret phrase. 1-877 Cars for Kids. But remember, it's cars with a K.
Yes.
1-877 Cars for Kids is the secret phrase. Okay. That is now stuck in my head. And also, you know, next time we do some blatant sponsorship, we gotta get paid for it.
That's right.
So secret phrase there. Okay, so Michael, what's your guess?
Can I just take yours? It sounded good.
No, you can go like 1 mile and then you'll get your Prices Right rules and win anyway.
There you go. I think 80 billion is, I think that's underselling it. I think that's.
How big is space, Michael? How big is an infinite number? Just
space
process
is infinity. Is infinity. It's space is infinite, as I understand. It's been a while since I've taken any kind of real science class. I'm going to say 200 billion miles.
200 billion. All right, Nick, what is it?
All right. So just as a couple of pieces of information, the Voyager spacecraft, which was Voyager 1 and Voyager 2, which were launched 16 days apart in 1977, is the furthest that a human probe has ever been sent out and about.
They're still chilling, right? They're still floating around. Are they still?
They are still floating around. I'm pretty sure both of them have stopped transmitting, but they're still going. I mean, that's basically the plot for the original Star Trek movie, is that Voyager comes back after being rebuilt by aliens. That is roughly 13 billion miles away. And that is the furthest man-made object from the sun. So you're both slightly over.
Also, I don't think that we as a human species can really comprehend what the number billion is. Like, I've seen a lot of those GIFs that, you know, that make like, here's a million, and then here's actually what a billion is. And I don't think that we as a species and as a human being can comprehend how big of a number that was. Which, right. Knowing that, I should have guessed way lower.
The best interpretation I've seen of it is like a million seconds is and I'm going to do the math wrong here, but a million seconds is about 2 weeks. A billion seconds is 42 years. Like, I have not yet been alive for a billion seconds.
Okay, so here, I did a quick Google.
Yeah.
1 million seconds equals 11 and a half days. 1 billion seconds equals 31 and three quarter years, and 1 trillion seconds equals 31,710 years.
Right.
So 31,000 years over for a trillion. A billion is 31 years and a million 11 days.
Right. That's absolutely ridiculous. So when you say something like Apple has been valued at $2 trillion,
yeah,
that's just more money than any one entity needs.
You win, like, yay. Yeah. Anyway, let's go back into our guesses. So, Nick, continue with what
you So, yeah, Voyager 1 and 2 are about 13 billion, or Voyager 1 anyway, is about 13 billion miles from Earth, is the furthest we've ever sent anything. And the reason why that doesn't count is because Voyager never, you know, went to a place. So the reason that this counts is that they still had control over the New Horizons probe, and it had enough fuel, so they changed its trajectory to go to this thing, the Araroth minor planet. It is 4 billion miles away from the sun. So that is still an incredibly large distance away, just not quite as far as you two thought.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess that's within somewhat in the Pluto range of things. So.
Yeah.
We were at least somewhat.
You consider the size of space, Lindsay. You and me were pretty close.
Yeah. The size of space, we were definitely.
Right. Yeah. 200 billion miles is closer to 4 billion miles than it is to infinite billion miles. You are correct.
I do like hearing that phrase.
Yeah.
The virtual high five. So, Nick, my segue from Michael and the Audrey 2 would have been a lot better than my segue from space. So I will say that I think in a democracy, the space for people to vote should be accessible to everyone.
Yes, agreed.
Okay.
I think that all people should be able to vote. Voting is good. Go vote. And so I wanted my fact. I went from space to space. It was bad. I know that it's bad, but the fact itself is interesting. I promise. Okay. Just lead in here, guys.
Okay.
You're both.
I'm on board.
I am still confused.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to say like a space for everyone to have their vote.
I got it.
It's a homonym.
Yeah. There you go. I don't know. It's bad. My fact is about the 19th Amendment. It was, it's the 100th anniversary. So it's the centennial of the ratification of the 19th Amendment, which gave women the right to vote in the United States. Most women, obviously, a lot of disenfranchised Black women were not able to really fully vote until the Voting Rights Act. there's still a lot of issues going on with disenfranchisement around the country. But that aside, we're talking about the passing of the 19th Amendment as a good thing. And I want to know from both of you guys.
I was wondering which side of the argument you were on there. So thanks for clarifying.
I am pro women voting. Just right. Very, very.
There is, funny enough, there is a petition out there to end women's suffrage.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, women's suffering is a terrible thing.
Yeah, I went down a rabbit hole of looking at like pamphlets that were against women's suffrage originally, because there were obviously a lot of people that didn't want women to vote. And it was like, you'll have petticoat rule. And how can we risk the good we've done for the evil that may occur? And that brought me great, great joy.
Yeah,
a lot
totally get it.
Yeah. But anyway, I would like to know from you both, how many were alive from the Seneca Falls Convention to actually see the ratification of the 19th Amendment? So obviously Seneca Falls was really one of the first big women's rights conventions in the United States. And that kind of is a big marker in the historical timeline. So how many people that attended the Seneca Falls Convention were alive to see the ratification of the 19th Amendment?
Michael's just staring off into space. I'm always interested to hear your thoughts on this.
I'm getting signals from off screen. I think I'm either being told a number or to steal third. I'm not 100% sure.
All right. So, Michael, 19th Amendment. Yep. That was what? The 1940s, 30s?
Well, Lindsay just said it was 100 years this year.
The full ratification of the 19th Amendment. Okay, so the 1920s then.
So actually, 1920. 1920 is 100 years from
2020 minus 100. Yeah, 1920. The math does check out there.
I'd have to open a calculator. all right, so 1920s. So when was the Seneca Falls Convention?
I think it was before.
Yeah, okay. All right. So we're moving in the right direction here. It was post Civil War.
It was pre Civil War.
It was pre Civil War.
Correct.
Interesting. Okay. So
I'm going to go out on a limb, because 100 years, I'm going to assume somebody was there as either a small child or an infant or kind of something like that. Because, I mean, the people that are living over the age of 100 these days, there are more, but it's still kind of a rare thing. I haven't watched the Today Show in a while, so, and I know they did the Smucker's Jam, these are the people that are now 100 thing every morning.
All right.
I'm glad Lindsay knew what I was talking about
there. Yeah.
I'm going to say two.
Okay. I'm going to go with game theory on this because it's obvious that we don't know what we're talking about. Sure. If you ask a question, how many, the answer is either an astronomically large number, which is not the case. It's one or it's zero. So I'm going with one.
Yeah, one is correct. I figured that you both would narrow your way down because you would know why I'm asking. But yeah, the Seneca Falls Convention was in 1848. And one woman, Charlotte Pierce, was alive to see the election and see the ratification of the 19th Amendment. There you go, Lindsay, in 1920. So she was 91 at the time of the election that she could vote. Unfortunately, she was too ill to actually vote, but she was 91 years old. So she was 19 at the time of the Seneca Falls Convention. 72 years passed from that convention to the ratification of the 19th Amendment. So my follow-up question for you guys, as we're celebrating this centennial, which U.S. state was the last to ratify it?
Okay.
We did this a few weeks ago, so we'll see if you guys remember.
Yeah, I think this is why I was thinking 1940 is the ratification earlier, because I'm pretty sure Maryland ratified in 1940.
Maryland ratified in 1941, correct?
Yeah. oh, no, wait. No, I saw something about this. Oh, what was it? It was recent.
Virginia was 1952.
Yeah.
The DMV folks. But which U.S. state was the last, and in what year did they ratify it?
It was stupid recently. I want to say it's like 2014.
Not that recent. No.
Okay. All right. Okay. Then maybe I'm thinking of something else.
I can tell you it was prior to the first Academy Award song nominated with Profanity.
Oh, so okay. I'm going to go with 1985 then.
Well, we need to stand
still. And you know what? And just because of the nature of the question, I'm going to say Alabama.
I was going to go Mississippi.
Well, Michael, you are correct with Mississippi, so I will just stop you there. So it was Mississippi, and they did finally ratify it officially in 1984. So 1984, the last state ratified the 19th Amendment. And then my follow-up bonus fact, this is something that you guys have probably heard in some trivia, but which state was the final one, the 36th one, that actually got the amendment passed and ratified, right? You need 3/4 to amend the Constitution, so 3/4 of the states. There were 48 states at the time in 1919, so they needed 36. So which state was the 36th state to ratify the amendment?
Okay, so I'll start eliminating ones, Michael, and then you can come up with the right answer. I'm going with not Alaska and not Hawaii.
Cool. Not Mississippi.
Not Mississippi. Not Maryland.
Not Virginia.
Yeah.
I can play this game too, Nick.
Not Washington.
Okay.
I don't believe that was a state at the time, or Nevada.
No, there were, Nick, there were 48 states at the time.
Oh, well then, yeah, definitely not Alaska or Hawaii.
Nick's having issues hearing details in the question.
Yeah, like, I just said that.
Yeah.
When was the 19th Amendment passed? Well,
I just personally,
the 100 year.
I think that we as a country missed out on a valuable opportunity to ratify the 19th Amendment in 1919. 19th Amendment in 1919.
They started to ratify it. It was brought in June of 1919, and then it just took so long for each of the states. So technically, it was brought in to be ratified in 1919, which is great, but then was actually fully ratified by 36 states that needed to make it official in 1920. So that process took the better part of a year, or over a year, just
right.
Over a year.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm just saying it's a missed opportunity.
Agreed.
I'm going to take a shot based on nothing other than the fact Lindsay is from Pennsylvania, so I'm going to say Pennsylvania.
That's a good guess. I'm going to say it's one of the ones in the middle and go Iowa.
Iowa. Okay, both of you guys are wrong. I'm surprised. I thought this was like a standard trivia question that you guys get, and that's why I didn't ask it as my original one. But it was Tennessee. So Tennessee was the 36th state to ratify it. And I'll leave you with this. The guy that kind of flipped the vote, we listened to his mom. There was a whole big thing. It might not pass. They weren't sure if it was going to get through Tennessee, and they really needed it to happen. It was getting dicey there for a little while. And Henry came in to the vote wearing a red rose, symbolizing that he was against women's suffrage. And, you know, everybody thought, okay, this is how he is going to vote. And then he came in and said, nope, I'm going to be an I. I'm voting for it. And it all came down to a letter from his mom that said, hey,
don't be a dick.
Don't be an idiot. Vote for this.
So he threw the head fake in the vote and then surprised everybody.
Complete surprise. There's actually a statue of him and his mom in Knoxville, Tennessee, commemorating the occasion. So point being, listen to your mom. If your mom has good advice, if your mom's a dumbass, don't listen to her. But in the case of Henry's mom, two thumbs up.
Right. It's just solid advice across the board.
Yeah. And I think that's the note to end on, solid advice across the board. Listen to good moms. Happy belated Mother's Day, everybody. We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
We Don't Know Either.
Bye.